This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
People are clueless when it comes to IT security, and that's better demonstrated nowhere than the story from the United Kingdom of this company that was hit with ransomware, paid millions of dollars in Bitcoin, obviously.
Can we explain what a ransomware is?
Yes, they infiltrate your computer system or your network or something like that. They encrypt all of your files, and a lot of your programs stop working because they rely on files that have been encrypted, and all of your stuff is basically inaccessible.
Ever happen to Linux users?
I don't know.
Probably not.
But I mean, it's not popular enough to hack a Linux computer.
Right. Is it impossible to encrypt other people's Linux computers?
It's very difficult to get in, as I understand it, to a Linux computer because there's a lot more security kind of built in at the whole operating system needs permissions for everything. That's why if you're a user of Linux, you'll have to constantly give it your password to do things like install a program because it's restricting everything at all times. I think that's a general statement. I'm sure there's some exceptions to that. I'm not going to say it's impossible to hack Linux, but viruses, for instance, are written mostly for Windows, from what I understand.
I think a lot of that, though, is because Windows is so much more popular.
It's true.
And if you're going to, you know, target people, target the 95% of people, not the 5%.
And there probably are more clueless users of Windows than there are of Linux. So that could be a factor as well.
I've never really thought about that about Linux, so how it constantly makes me re-enter my password. Mm-hmm. I mean, Windows attempted a similar thing with user access control around the Windows 7 era, and it annoyed everyone so much.
I turned it off.
Yeah, I turned it off as well. But it's never bothered me about Linux. It's just that's what Linux does.
Right.
But yeah. So they got hit with this ransomware. They lost access to all of their files, and they had to pay the ransom in Bitcoin. So they bought millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin, sent it to these people. They did get their files decrypted, but then they did nothing to look into the actual how the hackers got into their network to encrypt their files in the first place. 2 weeks later, hit by the same hacker group.
What did they pay the first time?
It doesn't say. It just says millions.
Millions?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So let's get into it. A company that fell victim to a ransomware attack and paid cyber criminals millions for the decryption key fell victim to the exact same ransomware group under 2 weeks later after failing to examine why the attack was able to occur in the first place. The unnamed company fell victim to a ransomware attack and paid millions in Bitcoin in order to restore the network and retrieve the files. I haven't seen a ransom that high yet.
Where are they getting this news from if the company is unnamed? Like, how did this come out?
It's from a blog post from the UK's National Cybersecurity Center.
So the government is keeping their name restricted.
Yes.
I see.
But the company just left it at that, didn't analyze how cyber criminals infiltrated their network, and this came back to haunt them when the same ransomware group infected the network with the same ransomware less than 2 weeks later. So the company paid the ransom a second time.
Wow.
Isn't it kind of messed up that the government is keeping it secret because then, like, the customers won't know how crappy
that's a good point.
The company is.
Because if they're treating their own, you know, network this way, then they can't possibly be treating their customer data in any sort of secure fashion, right? Like, there's probably just, you know, an open text file with all customers' names and information on it with no security whatsoever.
Well, we do have a figure. We've heard of one organization that paid a ransom a little under $6.5 million with today's rates.
Wow.
But in 2016, presumably that would have been just a few hundred thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And they did recover their files. What I find interesting about this is that when ransomware first really started taking off with things like CryptoWall 3.0 and stuff like that, there was a sort of honorable system among the actual ransomware people where if they hit you and you paid the ransom, then if they accidentally hit you again, they would give you the new decryption key, no need to pay the ransom a second time. But all of that has sort of gone away as ransomware has become more and more prolific. And again, the simple solution to all of this is for companies to just back up their files and then restore the backups when their current use ones get encrypted.
That is a simple solution, and it wouldn't take that much effort for them to actually, you know, implement something like that. There are programs that have already been written that, you know, yep. you can just take off the shelf that'll do backups for you.
The yeah. one that we used when I did IT work was called Mosey Pro, and mm-hmm. it kept 30 different versions of each different file. So you had to have been encrypted for a very long time without noticing it in order to not have a recoverable file. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it backed up every time, every 2 hours or something when changes were made to files. It was really good, and it was really simple,
yep.
and it protected all of our clients from having to ever pay a ransom.
Even if you're just backing up, like, once a day.
Yeah,
that's still going to give you not much to, you know, recover once. Like, if you recover your files from yesterday, you might have missed a few changes that you made today if you got hit by ransomware at the end of the day or something like that. But that's not going to be a total disaster, unlike losing everything is. Wow.
In order to install ransomware, cybercriminals have been able to gain backdoor access to the network, potentially via a previous malware intrusion, as well as having administrator privileges or other login credentials. Or, you know, just a Windows network, because there are plenty of ways to bypass that on a Windows network. If the attackers have that, they could easily deploy another attack if they wanted to, and did, in this example, as the victim hadn't examined how their network was compromised.
Wow.
They needed
they just figured they would get away with it, like that they could just pay the ransom and then they'd be left alone.
I can't.
It doesn't work that way with the government either.
That's true.
Yeah.
Excellent point. I can't imagine what the IT department for this firm was doing in those two
If they
weeks,
even
so.
Have one.
It doesn't sound like they updated anything or patched anything. Well, if they can afford a ransom of, you know, at
That's
the time, several hundred thousand dollars,
right.
I would assume they had...
Yeah, you could hire somebody. You know, you could have hired several somebodies for that amount of money to secure your network.
Some people believe that paying the ransom to criminals is going to be the quickest and most cost-effective means of restoring the network, and it's really the only way of restoring the network if you don't have backups.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the frustrating thing about dealing with companies that have been hit with ransomware. They're like, is there some way to just decrypt this without paying the ransom? It's like, are you insane? No, there's no way to decrypt it without the decryption key.
Why?
Because most of them use really complicated encryption that, you know, you would take
a
supercomputer billions of years in order to crack.
In the same way that you can't crack Bitcoin, right? Like, it's really secure.
Right. Would it take, like, a galaxy-sized supercomputer to crack Bitcoin?
It's not possible. Like, you'd have to have a quantum computer.
Yeah.
Which they don't have.
Recovering from a ransomware incident is rarely a speedy process. The investigation, system rebuild, and data recovery often involves weeks of work. Or you can just pay the ransom, and that's usually the fastest and easiest way to do it. But, of course, governments don't want you doing that.
They don't want you paying the ransom?
Right. Well, because they're the only ones who get to ransom people, right? It's also recommended that organizations regularly back up their networks and store those backups offline, mm-hmm. or store them online but keep multiple versions of the file, so that in event of a successful ransomware attack, the network can be restored with the least disruption possible. That's definitely the best way to do it. I don't know of any other foolproof ways. If you're using a Windows network, you're probably going to get hacked at some point. Mm. I mean, Windows is full of vulnerabilities, as you pointed out, and ransomware is extremely lucrative. These people are making billions of dollars a year.
I mean, wow. I mean, I've heard of ransomware doing a few thousand dollars, but millions of dollars. That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what the numbers are, but I know that they'll hit, like, hospitals.
Yeah, they must look at the size of the organization and just sort of figure on how much money they probably have. You know, how much can they take from them? Because obviously a small mom-and-pop business isn't going to be able to swing $1 million in ransomware. So the ransom people want to ask for a number they can get, right? Like, so they have to put some sort of effort into figuring out what's an appropriate amount.
Yeah, back in the day that I had companies getting hit, it was like $500, but it escalated quickly to hundreds of thousands of dollars. You may have been right. I don't know where what I was thinking about. No, it could have exceeded $7.5 billion.
This is ransomware global?
Well, that was the cost of ransomware attacks. It doesn't say...
The cost could be the cost of recovery or whatever.
It doesn't say how much of that was actually paid to ransoms. I know that governments spent about $41,000 in ransoms. Evidently, the
it does warm my heart a little bit when that happens. I mean, I don't really much care for the ransomware people, but if they hit governments, then, you know, it's hard to really say that they've done anything wrong.
I agree entirely. The city of Atlanta spent more than $2 million recovering from a ransomware attack.
I mean, it's a shame that the taxpayers are the ones that have to foot that bill, but they could just stop paying taxes.
It is, and that's a good way to keep yourself from paying these stupid ransoms for your cities. 603-283-6160. Have you ever dealt with ransomware? Let us know.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it! You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
Freedom!
Freedom is the call of the untamed Scotsman and all others that want to feel the wind under their kilts.
At Free Talk Live, we love the breezy swinging feeling that only a kilt from Sport Kilt can give.
We teamed up with Sport Kilt to let you experience their form of freedom. At a discount, go to kilts.freetalklive.com and see a picture of Richie and me in our kilts.
And then head over to sportkilt.com. Get some stylish freedom for yourself and use code FTL for a 10% discount. Sportkilt.com.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BaneBooks.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. 360 is the call-in number. You can call in and talk about whatever you want to. 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria, Ian, and Bonnie. And in continuing with stories that reveal just how stupid people can really be, or careless, or whatever terminology you wish, a high school teacher is now being ridiculed for claiming that Bernie Sanders' mittens showed white and male privilege because women would never have gotten away with dressing down for the inauguration. So here's this high school teacher from San Francisco who's accusing Bernie Sanders of displaying white and male privilege because he was wearing mittens for the...
Are we talking about the inauguration?
Yes.
Okay, so this was like a big photo that went around, right? There was a lot of memes that were created.
Oh, they were great.
This,
I loved them.
With Bernie Sanders just sort of sitting alone in this chair, because everybody, all the chairs were spaced out, right? Social distancing and all that nonsense.
And just looking like a grumpy old man.
Right.
Really.
The gloves aren't that ugly. It's not like they're like so hideous no woman would ever.
Well, it's also true that they were made from a queer supporter for a front by.
They were donated.
By is the word I'm looking for. They were made by a queer supporter of his.
So what is this woman saying about them?
It's stupid. So she's been ridiculed for her, quote, performative wokeness after she claimed that Bernie Sanders wearing mittens at the inauguration was a lesson in white privilege and male privilege. In this lecture that she... It was an op-ed, sorry, that she published
an
on
op-ed?
Sunday. Yes. In the San Francisco Chronicle.
Oh, I thought they were going to say this lady just said this in front of her classroom. She actually really wanted people to know about it.
I mean, it would be bad if she said this in front of her students, right? And she does invoke her students at one point in this. But no, she wrote an op-ed for the San Francisco Chronicle and criticized Bernie Sanders for wrapping up against the cold in his mittens and winter coat, while she claimed that his female colleagues, and especially women of color, such as Vice President Kamala Harris, did not have the same opportunity to dress down for such a prestigious event. Senator Sanders is no white supremacist insurrectionist, she said, but he manifests privilege, white privilege, male privilege, and class privilege in ways that my students could see and feel. She earns six figures working for the San Francisco Unified School District.
Wow.
Jeez.
Of course, the internet.
Oh, San Francisco. Okay.
Yeah. Of course, the internet was quick to respond to these stupid and appalling comments, with many pointing out that Sanders had used the social media buzz about his appearance to raise money for charity by selling merchandise. Imagine having a platform to write about anything, said BBC journalist Benjamin Rahm, and choosing instead to dunk on Bernie's mittens. The rest of this is just comments on this. I was hoping it was going to be more than that or more humorous than that.
But how is it white privilege to have mittens? I missed that part.
We'd have to go to her op-ed.
Well, she's acting like women don't want to dress up. Like, I'm pretty sure if Kamala Harris didn't want to dress up, she didn't have to. She probably wanted to. She's probably excited for her
whole thing.
Women
don't want to dress up? I mean, all kinds of women want to dress up. They love that stuff.
I love that stuff.
Right?
I also do so. So I did pull up the article. I'm not good at this, which is why I didn't have it up already.
I mean, I'm all for criticizing Bernie Sanders, and
sure,
there's plenty on which one can criticize Bernie Sanders. But, you know, to criticize an old man for sitting in a pair of gloves, I don't understand.
And a coat. A man from Vermont at that, who knows how to prepare for cold weather. So I've got the op-ed here from this crazy lady. 3 weeks ago, I processed the Capitol insurrection with my high school students. Rallying our inquiry skills, we analyzed the images of that historic day, images of white men storming through the Capitol, fearless and with no forces to stop them. This, I said, is white supremacy. Fast forward 2 weeks later, we analyzed images from the inauguration, asking again, what do we see? We saw diversity, creativity, and humanity, and a nation embracing all of this and more.
Does this woman mean to tell me that there wasn't a single non-white person present on January 6th?
Well, we know there
was. Everyone is acting like non-white people, or only white people stormed the Capitol, but
I don't
that's
believe
just
it.
Not true.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I mean, every Trump crowd I've ever seen has been diverse, even here in New Hampshire. Now, I don't spend time in Trump crowds, right? Like, but when I have gone to events, and there have been Trump people that have been there, like at the quote-unquote Stop the Steal events here in New Hampshire during December, which I went to do outreach on the part of secession. I don't want anyone to think I actually care about Donald Trump. But I was there, and I saw a bunch of Trump people, and there were at least two black guys that spoke.
There was also an Asian lady, wasn't there?
There was an Asian family, at least one of them, that was present there. So I don't believe this claim. Just because the majority of people in the quote-unquote insurrectionists on January 6th happened to have white skin, I don't think that really says very much, given that the majority of people in the United States also have white skin.
Excellent points.
And I just don't care either about what color people are, but apparently people are still obsessed with this. They still think it means something.
It's frustrating how we went from color shouldn't matter to this more oppressive color has to matter or you're racist kind of thing.
Have you seen that they're now actually doing segregation of people again at colleges?
I have not.
Yeah. Yeah. They're calling it something else, but they're doing segregation.
So they've been studying diversity in her class and discriminations in the United States, so her students were ready. What did they see? They saw a white man in a puffy jacket and huge mittens, distant not only in his social distancing, but in his demeanor and attire. We took in the meaning of the day, the vulnerability of democracy, the power of ritual traditions, and the peaceful transition of power. We talked about gender and the possible meanings of the attire chosen by Kamala Harris, Dr. Biden, the Biden grandchildren, and several others. It's stupid. We referenced the female warriors inspiring these women, the colors of their educational degrees, and their monochromatic ensembles of pure power.
I hated Gaga's outfit.
This sounds like just such a bunch of gobbledygook to me.
Yeah, it gets
female
better.
Warriors?
I don't know what she's alluding to.
These
there.
Are politicians. They're not the same thing. They're not tantamount to an actual like warrior. If there was actually a, you know, band of Amazonian female warriors out there, they would be embarrassed and shocked that someone would dare to compare them to these cowardly scumbag politicians. I'm not saying that because they're Democrats. I would say that if they were Republicans right. as well. These people are the lowest scum of the earth, and they are in no way courageous people. You have to actually be a courageous individual to head on into battle like an actual warrior would do. These people have men and women who do that for them. They have tools that they call the police and the military, and they will go and put their lives on the line for these people. These people, the politicians, will never lift a finger to defend themselves or others. Ever.
Yeah. I can't argue.
No.
AOC is saying that she was, like, severely traumatized from January 6th.
Really?
She's been talking about that.
She got traumatized by the, quote, raid on mm-hmm. the Capitol building?
She said she almost got murdered.
Wow.
Even Help. Though the people who raided the building didn't actually murder anyone, and if anyone murdered someone, it was the cop that shot that lady through the neck.
Yeah, the cops murdered someone, but none of the rioters or whatever you want to call them, the unguided tour people mm-hmm. actually killed anyone.
Oh, but, and some cops killed themselves later, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that's one way to end their careers. Mm-hmm. And there, across all of our news outlets and social media feeds, was Bernie. Bernie memes, Bernie sweatshirts, endless love for Bernie. I puzzled and fumed as an individual, as I strove to be my best possible teacher. What did I see? What did I think my students should see? This article gets worse about this lady who is just absolutely obsessed with these mittens and how they're how they're tokens of Bernie Sanders' male supremacy or something. 603-283-6160.
Doodle, Stuart, Harold, and Porkchop. Porkchop, his beautiful blonde coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. They did a DNA test on the four rescues. The first year is just a complete retraining. Lots of love, discipline, and daily upkeep. I'm a registered nurse and a personal trainer. If I eat healthy, then my dog should eat healthy.
DinoVite.com.
They need the vitamins and minerals that Dinovite provides.
Dinovite is nutrition.
Harold, the Border Collie Pit Mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat terrier, has fur now where he never had it before. Doodle, he's a poodle cocker spaniel. His energy is tremendous. The Dynavite will make your dog happy, vivacious, jump up and down, wag their tails. It will make you smile.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite at Dinovite.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Jeff Bezos, who founded Amazon and turned it into an online shopping behemoth, is stepping down as the company's CEO, a role he's had for nearly 30 years. In a blog post to employees, Bezos saying he'll focus on new products and early initiatives being developed at Amazon, and he'll have more time for side projects, his space exploration company Blue Origin, the newspaper he owns, The Washington Post, and his charities. President Biden is issuing a series of executive orders, in his words, to modernize America's immigration system.
This is about how America is safer, stronger, more prosperous when we have a fair, orderly, and humane legal immigration system.
The Dow gaining 476 points on Tuesday to close the day at 30,688. USA Radio News. Groundhog Day is here. It comes with the annual forecast offered by Punxsutawney Phil.
It's a beautiful morning, this I can see, with all my fans viewing virtually, my faithful followers being safe and secure. Our tradition of Groundhog Day must endure.
Once out, Phil spotted his shadow, and as a tradition goes, that means there'll be six more weeks of winter. The show must go on. At least that's what Major League Baseball says.
The Major League Baseball Players Union has rejected a proposal from the league that would have pushed back opening day, shortened the regular season, and expanded the playoffs. In a statement, the union said its members rejected the offer because it did not guarantee further protections in the event of delays, interruptions, or the cancellation of the season. The union says its players will continue to prepare for spring training to begin on February 17th. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. Call in and talk about whatever you want. 603-283-6160. And the Bitcoin sale appears to be coming to an end, with it climbing back up to about $35,000 the last time I checked.
Okay.
So if you need to learn about Bitcoin, go to Bitcoin.com. It's the best place for learning about it. You can go there now and click on Get Started at the top of the page. And once you do that, you'll find all sorts of useful information neatly organized by your needs. There's no longer an excuse for ignoring this important world-changing information. But if you are a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com to get the latest headlines of all the news relevant to you, because bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a sleek and easy-to-use website, bitcoin.com. The ship hasn't sailed yet, but it will sail eventually, and I read an article today speculating that big investors could push the price of Bitcoin up to $500,000 by year's end. I mean, it was an opinion piece.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the optimism. Yeah. I don't know. It's possible. It's certainly not impossible.
Don't be that guy in 2 years sitting there saying, God, I wish I'd bought Bitcoin when it was $35,000. Because if you said that when it was $20,000, you're going to be saying it when it's $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to the phones. We've got Mark Edge calling. Mark, you're on Free Talk Live. I hate the hold button. Yep. Sorry, Mark.
Oh.
I'm rusty at this.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now that
Hello.
I hit the right button.
Hi.
Can you
Hello.
Hear me now?
Yeah.
Hey.
Good to talk to you. There was one police officer that was killed in the Capitol. He was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher and later had a stroke. He is being held in stasis. So, I mean, not to say that I'm supporting or anything like this, as far as I'm concerned, there's just a whole mess going on, but there was an officer that died.
Okay. I'm not sad about it.
So I wanted to talk about the Free State Project. Porcupine Day is coming up tomorrow. And
I believe it's being celebrated on Saturday, but I don't know.
What is Porcupine Day?
Yeah, what is Porcupine Day?
Porcupine Day is the day that they stated that we reached 20,000 signers to the Free State Project. So okay. That's February the 3rd. Right after Groundhog Day is Porcupine Day. And Caesar, yes, they're going to celebrate it on the 6th, but, that's just because the 6th is a Saturday and Porcupine Day is a Wednesday. But it made me go to the website and look. And I'm curious, mainly here, Ian, what your thoughts are, is that I see that they're claiming that there are 5,139 Free Staters already in New Hampshire. And for one, I don't know when we started using the pejorative Free Stater to identify ourselves as. I always thought it was Porcupine. But
I don't know who we is. I'm not a member of the Free State Project.
I signed the petition or whatever, or the pledge.
Bonnie is.
I am not.
Are you?
And have never been.
I have never written anything quitting, but sort of emotionally I quit some time ago. But I go to their events and stuff.
Okay. I've been to a few of the Porcupine Freedom Festivals, but that's the extent of my interaction with the Free State Project.
Well, I'm going to guess that the 5,000-plus number that you're looking at includes the, 3,000 or so, what do they call them, pre-staters or people. They came up with a term to describe people who were already living in New Hampshire but have sort of shown an interest and wanted to join the Free State Project. And so there have been, from what I understand, there have been at least a couple of thousand people who've moved here. How many exactly, I don't know. And, of course, we don't know how many people have left. But there are, I think, a few thousand more who were just sort of New Hampshireites who wanted to officially show their support for the Free State Project. So I suspect that's what that 5,000 number includes.
And that's the kind of the question I have. I tend to agree. So first we have people who signed up, signed up for the Free State Project when New Hampshire was picked. I think there were 139 of them already in state. So
I think there were more than
actual Free State.
I believe there was more than that. I believe it was like close to 300.
I don't think it was that many, but all right. Let's go ahead and concede 300. All right.
So are you unhappy?
I think it was like 275 or something like that.
With the numbers that the Free State Project
is quite unhappy.
Wait, Aria. I'm trying to come to a conclusion here, and I just need a little help.
I think you've already come to the conclusion, but what are you trying to do?
Well, I'm trying to determine whether they have mislabeled this. So they say Free Staters already in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And that suggests that everybody who moved and left and told them that they left and they didn't remove from the list is in the state. And there's plenty of people who left who didn't tell them that they left, and those would be in state. And I don't think it's fair to fluff your numbers with a list that says, and this is how many libertarians we have in the state. We got these people who are libertarians to sign our list. I mean, I can go to Texas and I can get tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people to say, sure,
can
I'm
you?
A friend of a Texas.
Yeah, because they don't know
sure,
what libertarian means. They're just conservative.
It wouldn't be.
Well, I mean, you act like that's some sort of easy thing to do. I mean, it's not an easy thing to get people to join any kind of a movement. So the fact that they have thousands of people who have signed up for the Free State Project who already live in New Hampshire is still noteworthy. It's not as large of a commitment to sign a thing as it is to move to a place. So obviously the people who've moved here have made a much larger commitment. And I think, Mark, you're saying you're not really clear on whether or not they're including the numbers of the people who have informed them that they're quitting or have left, right? You don't know
no,
if that
I'm
number
not.
Includes that.
I know that it doesn't include the people who have moved and not told them that.
Well, obviously, how could it?
I find that the number is a really difficult thing. So they hold it up and broadcast it as this wonderful thing. But
it is a wonderful thing. Thousands of people have moved to New Hampshire, and we have the best liberty community on the planet as a result of that. There's nothing that comes close.
And we'll be celebrating tomorrow 20,000 people signing to move, and tomorrow is the last day that they can move to be within that, time frame.
Yeah, for anyone that really cares about that, yes.
Well, that's another thing, is that the relationship the Free State Project has to the truth seems to be spurious all along. So, I mean, there was a problem initially where they just decided, we're going to go from a date, and I think it was September 2000, I can't remember what the number was, but some date where they didn't hit their numbers, so they just extended it. I think it was September 2008, I can't remember.
Some people said it was 2006 where the Free State Project said that if they didn't reach 20,000 by that date that they would disband the thing. I don't ever remember that, but I'll just believe the people that have said that that's true. I was around back then and it just didn't stick with in my mind that that was a thing. Like, to me, this seemed like a project that was ongoing. And it is a project that's ongoing. If you don't want to go, then don't go. If you think you can actually do something where you live, then stay where you are and keep banging your head up against a brick wall. And the rest of us who actually understand how to have progress will keep moving together because it makes sense to actually have a group of people with an intentional community coming together and making a difference in a place. And you can nitpick all you want about the Free State Project organization. I mean, I have certainly found faults with them in the past, but I don't hold a grudge, and I don't understand, why you bother even worrying about this.
Ian, I don't know why we're talking about grudges here.
You're the one on the phone complaining about the Free State Project.
Or it's false. I'm not complaining about the Free State Project. I'm trying to determine what the truth is.
Well, I mean, their statement sounds like it could be literally true, even if all 3,000 or whatever number of those people left. They say, hey, these people moved to New Hampshire, or these libertarians moved to New Hampshire. They're not saying they're still here.
Free Staters already in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. So they're saying they're in New Hampshire as we speak. And I can tell you, as somebody who signed up for the Free State Project, I am not currently in New Hampshire.
Do you want them to change their list?
That sounds so pedantic to me.
Maybe they just
said a phone number. Mark, thank you so much for the call. I mean, I do appreciate it. I appreciate the interest you have for this. I expect to see a graph when you return. Have me a nice graph of this data so I can look it over. Graphs make everything easier. Mark knows that better than anyone. 603-283-6160 is the call-in line. That's 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with your free subscription to the CB Industry Report. The legal cannabis market is making huge moves since the election, and the market is projected to grow to $47 billion by 2025. The companies that we've identified are set to disrupt this multi-billion dollar industry. Get your free subscription to the CB Industry Report now when you text the word NOW to 48542. Get this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word NOW to 48542. Text NOW to 48542. And don't get left behind in 2021 where unprecedented trading ideas for you to research are waiting. Text the word NOW to 48542.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
The moment of Free Talk Live. Get our archives daily via our podcast at feeds.freetalklive.com.
And you can join us. You can talk about whatever you want. 603-283-6160 is the call-in line. Or you can chat with us if you want to get over to the Matrix server. You can find that at chat.freetalklive.com. I say chat with us. It's mostly just chatting with fans. Fans is definitely
trolls.
Not the right word.
Yeah. There's some fans in there, but mostly trolls.
We're rarely actually in the room, but we are there.
I'm there a lot, actually.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. You just don't speak much. You're a lurker.
I mean, I'll talk when I need to.
Fair point. Chat.freetalklive.com. We also have a social media platform, a Mastodon server. It's basically a decentralized or federated version of Twitter. Check it out. It's really cool. Social.freetalklive.com.
I made a post there today about what happened at the governor's house on Sunday.
You did. Speaking of awesome things in New Hampshire, there's almost always some sort of activism going on here from libertarians.
Right.
This is one that, you know, they get planned and whispered about in such rapid succession that this one had completely blown past under my radar before I'd even known it had happened. But with you tonight, you've got Ian, Aria, and Bonnie. And we're going to go to the phones. We've got Truth Seeker calling. Truth Seeker, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, y'all.
Hey.
So just wanted to call and talk about, make a couple points about Bitcoin. First of all, I think it's going to go to $1 million this year because it's the best asset on the planet.
Wow, that would be amazing. I hope you're right.
Me too.
I would not be sad if that happened.
The wealthy are figuring out what a great asset it is. And second of all, have you all discussed that they now have, there's now options available for Bitcoin and other crypto asset owners to earn interest on your Bitcoin?
I think we might have mentioned that. There are multiple companies that are doing this, and it is very interesting, so to speak. There's a lot of companies out there that are paying upwards of, not just on Bitcoin, but on things like stablecoins, upwards of 10% or more on an APY basis, I think, annual percentage per year or whatever that stands for. That is like way better than any bank account you're ever going to get if you're using stablecoins in these systems. Is there one in particular that you wanted to recommend, or one or two?
Well, there's only three that I've really found, but so the risk is, like, one of them is BlockFi is pretty popular, but it doesn't look like BlockFi is insured, whereas CoinLoan and Nexo are both insured.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the point of this? You loan your crypto?
All you do is deposit crypto, and you set up an account, deposit crypto. They might have an interest account, interest-bearing account, and you just have to transfer your crypto into that account. They pay anywhere from 5 to 6% on Bitcoin, but they pay out with more Bitcoin. So with this year being a bull run, you're going to be getting whatever their interest rate is, but you're getting it in Bitcoin. So as your Bitcoin appreciates, then the interest you earn off of it appreciates as well.
It sounds interesting. What was the name of the company you recommended?
Well, the ones I would recommend because they're insured are CoinLoan and Nexo, but BlockFi pays the highest, but it doesn't look like they're insured. So you're putting your Bitcoin at more risk by going with them.
Yeah, I have looked into some of these recently to some extent. I mean, I haven't done a whole lot of research on them as far as what people think, but I did test out Nexo, and I did test out Celsius, which is another one. And like you said,
yes.
Celsius does not seem to have insurance, while Nexo claims to, but whether they actually have the insurance or not, I have no idea. It just says so on their website. So, you know, here you are, ultimately, the risk is losing everything, right? Like, if you
sure.
put money into this
right.
company, and they're like, okay, see ya, and then they shut down and take all your Bitcoin, then I don't know if
right.
you know, you're going to be able to collect on that so-called insurance plan, but it certainly sounds nice to say that they have insurance.
Have you
right.
put any
and
money into any of these?
They pay out at the end of every month, so you do get your interest every month.
He might not have heard your question.
Have you put money into any of these?
I have, yes.
And have you actually received
Bitcoin in all three of them?
Have you actually received interest payments from them?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it daily? Do you get your, or like, when do you get your interest?
You get your interest payments monthly, but it
accrues
daily.
That is not true. Oh, I don't think that's true. I thought that Nexo pays daily.
No, it accumulates daily, but then they pay it out monthly. I believe. I think all three of them are the same, if I remember correctly.
I don't think you're correct about that. It seems to... I don't see how they would pay it out because it accumulates to the amount... So, like, if you were to take, you know, Dash or... I don't know what they take offhand. I did put some lumens in there, I think. So if you put some Stellar lumens in or Bitcoin in or whatever, it gives you an update every single day if you're on the site that you've received interest to that account. I have yet to see anything about a monthly payout, but I might not have been in for a month yet. So I'm pretty sure they just add it to your balance on a daily basis. At least Nexo did. Celsius is doing it weekly. And also Crypto.com, which is where I first came across this whole paying an interest rate for crypto thing. They have a debit card, Crypto.com, but they also have a way to earn interest on cryptos. And they are paying it on a weekly basis there, if I recall correctly. So it's different per website, I think, that you go on. They all have different
right.
setups.
I'm really curious about the back end of this
right.
because I'm not seeing how it could possibly be profitable for anyone unless the company is, you know, taking your Bitcoin
they're
and
loaning it.
Selling it at a markup to people and then buying back more Bitcoin with the profit and splitting that with you.
They're loaning out this money, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
the companies make money
right.
that they... The companies that get the Bitcoin loaned to them make money and pay you some?
So what they're doing on the back end is they are a loaning... collateralized loans. So they're not just giving out Bitcoin to somebody who says, hey, I got a job. Can you give me some Bitcoin? They're giving Bitcoin to people who throw down like a bunch of other cryptos to back it or whatever. Isn't that right? Do you know?
All I know is they're lending it out. I'm not sure exactly how it works.
Yeah. From what I've looked at, they are, so for instance, you can go and get a loan from Celsius at like 1% APY or higher, depending on the terms of the loan that you get. But you can get for as low as a 1% payback. And you do this by throwing a ton of, like, four times the amount of crypto at it. So let's say you want to give them a Bitcoin. Like a whole, you've got a whole Bitcoin, uh-huh. and you're willing to get, you get like a quarter of the value of that Bitcoin in stable coins, in U.S. dollar-backed stable coins for giving them that Bitcoin. And then you can do whatever you want with that, and then you pay it back at a 1% rate. So they're actually holding four times the value of what they're loaning back to you. It's kind of an interesting system.
It is. I'm not sure why you wouldn't just, you know, use something like SideShift to convert those altcoins into Bitcoin or whatever. I'm just not understanding the point of taking out a crypto loan.
I don't know. So here's a reason, right? So if you think the price of Bitcoin is going to go up, and it probably will, right? So you don't want to take your Bitcoin and sell it,
right?
And get the stable coins. You'd rather, if you trust the company, give it to this company, and then you can pay back the stable coins at whatever amount you got them at, and then you get back the more valuable Bitcoin later. Does that make any sense?
Wow.
It does. I'm going to have to spend some time looking into it, though, because I'm curious now about how all of this works. And, hey, if I can send some Bitcoin somewhere and have it just slowly accumulate, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, it's great as long as the whole thing's not a scam and they don't
right,
like
that
cut
would
and
be
run.
My concern. It sounds, that's why I asked about withdrawal, because that would be my number one question.
That's the thing. I haven't actually tested the withdrawal yet. it's making interest, but I haven't actually withdrawn it to see if you can actually do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
True
don't
secret.
Don't put in what you can't afford to lose in a scheme like this.
So getting back to this Mittens article.
I'm sorry, before you go on, I think it's interesting to also add that these aren't federally protected loans. These aren't federally protected interest-bearing accounts, right? Like when you go to the bank and you put in whatever, $1,000 or whatever you got, and they tell you, we'll give you 0.01% interest rate.
Yeah, some laughably small amount.
Right, some piddly interest rate that is just almost nothing, basically. They also will claim that they're backed by the federal, FDIC, or in the case of credit unions, the NCUA. Well, we're backing your account up to $250,000, so if we go out of business, the feds will back it. Well, in this case, you know, there's no backing like that. You don't have the government helping you in this case. It doesn't have anything to do with the dollar. It's all crypto tokens. So there's people out there that need these loans, and they're willing to pay the interest rates back on them. Now, you know, how much money these people are making, I have no idea. And how it all works exactly, I don't know either. But there's a bunch of companies out there that are competing to give people, like, the highest rates possible. So there's, like, actually a move upwards on interest rates, which is interesting. Like, 5% is kind of on the low end for some of these things.
Fascinating. Yeah. I'm definitely going to have to look into it. Throw $100 of Bitcoin into it and
see what happens.
Yeah. If you can afford to lose it.
Yeah.
That's not a suggestion or advice or anything. I'm saying it may be worth it if you can afford to lose it.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product
Within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.